preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness. From all across the globe, this is Animal Radio Network.
And all across the globe today means live from Oxnard, California, on our pet-friendly tour of America.
Woohoo!
And it's a very inspirational show we have for you today. Three great inspirational speakers. We have Randy Grimm will be with us in just a few minutes. Randy Berger, author of My Recycled Pets, Diary of a Dog Addict, and also a 15-year-old girl. As you can tell, you can hear the dogs in the background. Coming to you from PetSmart, a very pet-friendly place, and I love the dogs, the big guys that are walking in all macho-like. And then they have the little dogs,
carrying
the little poodles.
With little pink ribbons in their hair.
And what kind of dogs are those over there? Because it looks like those are leading him around.
Pit bulls.
What kind was that? Oh, there was the miniature chihuahua is trying to attack two pit bulls.
Pit bulls.
The miniature chihuahua definitely thinks he's bigger. That laugh in the background is the laugh of Randy Berger. She's written a book called My Recycled Pets, Diary of a Dog Addict. And it's sort of a story about her life. And I'll let her tell the story about her life because it's very intriguing. She was, as far as I remember, in the back of a truck. Actually, in a boat that was on the back of a truck.
Being towed
to a Grateful Dead concert, and that's when her life changed. Randy, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Hi. And I have to also add that I was a staunch, diehard college Republican at that time.
Yes, okay. And things changed.
Did I just lose all your viewers for you?
No, of course not. Of course not. But things changed at that time for you. What happened?
Well, my first dog had just died, and that was, I always connected more to dogs than to humans. Most humans never made sense to me, and they still don't. So, no, I'm joking.
They don't make sense to me, but go ahead.
But after my first dog died, I had such a hard time dealing with it, and I had just graduated from college, and I ended up traveling around the country, and I tried to find myself. And I kept journals throughout my whole life, and when I finally came back to LA to face reality, I started, instead of doing something with my college degree in psychology and theater, I started looking through shelters and found out that like 75% of the dogs in these shelters were euthanized, which
wow.
I thought was absurd, and I just started one by one on a mission to take as many out as possible. And anyone who walks into a shelter who can handle walking into a shelter will become addicted to it.
Yeah, it's very tough. Well, let me ask you a question. You were very bitter at one time in your life, and now you've turned everything into a positive thing. Everything is positive for you. You are the most positive person I know.
You have to be around me more. No, I try to take everything and turn it. There is a positive. On the back cover of my book, I talk about every detour from what we think is right holds a message somewhere for us that everything's always in divine right order. And in this book, I put a lot of chapters in there that started out seeming horrendous or really negative and just unacceptable, incomprehensible. And at the end of the whole entire book, I turn everything around and turn it into a positive, mm-hmm. telling us to celebrate each day as though it were our last. And any rescue person sees hundreds of dogs a month being given up.
So, what kind of advice would you give these rescue people?
I mean, I personally have to do affirmations every day or I will be like completely depressed and non-functional. So I wake up every day and start it with a positive thought, and you focus on your goal, not on what is negative, not on what isn't happening, not on what's not working. And this is really just about life. And my whole book is really, there's subtle messages throughout it about life. You focus on finding the good in anything and everything, and know that there is a positive to the end of every experience. There's a positive reason for everything that happens.
We're going to be talking to Randy Berger throughout the show today. The book is called My Recycled Pets, Diary of a Dog Addict. And she's going to hang around with us here at PetSmart, live from Oxnard, California. We're off to another Randy now.
Well, here's a gentleman that's no stranger to Animal Radio Network. This is actually his third appearance on Animal Radio, although it... actually, I think first one... many, many years ago.
When we first started?
Yeah, when we first started, he had a book out called The Man Who Talks to Dogs. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Randy Grimm. Randy, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, of course. Well, you know, you've got some pretty important stuff to talk about.
Oh, I hope so.
Well, you have the new book, which is called Miracle Dog, How Quentin Survived the Gas Chamber to Speak for Animals on Death Row. And it's really a great book.
Oh, thanks.
Your first book was good. This is better. Believe it or not.
Oh, no.
This is.
You know, I picked up the book and I sat down. I was just going to read a few pages. Well, I end up reading the whole thing all at once.
It is one of those things that you can't stop.
No, you have to find out what happens.
And, you know, when it, well, you know, because I wrote it, I made sure there's pictures. And also, I have a sense of humor, so I wanted to, because it's also, you know, there are parts that could be a little tough to read, and I thought, well, there are so many funny things that Quentin has done, the dog, the miracle dog himself, that I needed to put those in there too as well.
Yeah, it's a very serious topic, and we'll touch on it in just a second, but you've made it very funny, and you've done a great job. But let's talk about a little bit about Quentin. Quentin was named, I assume, after the gas chamber in California.
Right.
Tell us how you found Quentin and Quentin's story.
Well, it was a typical Randy day, you know, with lots of calls and rescues going on. And I got a call from supervisor at the City Pound here in St. Louis, Missouri. And that's not uncommon because there's no veterinarian there. So they call me for whenever they have any dog that has come in with a gunshot wound or hit by a car or you name it, and we take them and get them the medical care they need. So, you know, I got a call, but this time her name is Rosemary Fick, and she could barely talk, and I said, Rosemary, what's going on? And she goes, Randy, I just, in St. Louis, unfortunately at that time, used a gas chamber to do all its euthanasia.
What year is this that this is still
happening? This is 2003.
2003, still using the gas chamber for euthanasia in a major city of St. Louis. Okay,
wow.
Go on.
And so she goes, I just gassed our normal lot of dogs. And when I opened up the chamber, he was still in the chamber when she called. She goes, there's this dog standing on top of a pile of seven other dead dogs. And he's wagging his tail but growling at me. And I said, well, you know, and she goes, I don't have the heart to regas him. I said, don't you dare. I'll come and rescue him. And that's really how it started.
Wow.
And because I have the only no-kill shelter in St. Louis called Stray Rescue.
Also an unbelievable fact that that's the only no-kill shelter in St. Louis. We're talking about a major city, ladies and gentlemen.
I know. So it's... Well, there's going to be some good news coming up later, a little bit later.
Okay.
But so then, I really didn't think much of it, except that we were full, and I needed to open up the space. So I sent out a really small press release, just basically saying, "Dog survives gas chamber, now needs a home," and I forgot about it. The next morning, when I went to the shelter, I saw a sea of news trucks with live feeds. You know it's a live feed when you see a long pole going up in the air. And I saw a ton of them surrounding it. I thought, well, either I just won the lottery or Ed McMahon's there or someone's dead, but then wouldn't somebody have called me? Or we had a fire. So I snuck through the back. And when I start walking into the shelter, there was a sea of reporters, and at the end of the sea of reporters, I saw Quentin sitting with his ears down and looking terrified. And, you know, with my phobias, I was terrified too. And my goal was to try to get to Quentin, and I don't know, just comfort him a little bit and let him know it's going to be okay.
Now, was this the first time you saw Quentin?
It was.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want my first meeting with Quentin to be such a
public display.
Right. Because
yeah.
The cameras were going, and it was, but you know, once I finally made it to Quentin, and I was answering questions as I'm trying to get to Quentin, and we connected immediately, and he deliberately kissed my hand.
Aww.
And I knew then that, and I even forgot about the cameras, and then I knew then I had a special kid on my hands, and naively I didn't know what the Associated Press meant, and I did the interview. They were there as well, and I did an interview, and next thing I know, you know, Quentin's on CNN every 30 minutes, and then the Today Show, People Magazine, it just kept snowballing. I was like, oh my God, and 700 applications within 1 week, and as far as Japan,
wow,
and England, and even someone from San Quentin. it was overwhelming. It was really overwhelming, and it really turned into a kind of a circus for a little bit here. But I knew that I didn't know I was going to keep them. I had no intentions of keeping them.
Uh-huh.
But the ultimate he's mine was my one dog, Hannah, who hates every dog. When she met Quentin, instead of trying to kill him, she rolled over on her back.
Oh, wow.
They have been inseparable ever since. And then I was like, well, I think this is meant to be. The man who talks to dogs and the miracle dog, and maybe we can make some changes and make it a better, you know, world for animals. And so we teamed up, and we've been able to do so many wonderful things. And Quentin loves it. If he hated it, I wouldn't do it. And he loves flying on airplanes. He loves working crowds and meeting people.
Now, he gets first-class treatment, doesn't he?
Yes, he flies first class, which makes me laugh so hard. And then he drinks Evian on the plane. But you know what's funny is when we travel, he basically eats people food.
Does he? Okay.
I know, well, it's probably bad.
I understand he has a voracious appetite.
He can eat forever. And not gain any weight. It's like, how do you do that, Quentin? But he'll work the whole airplane. he'll go to each aisle and you know, give them a little look and then get their food. But then he goes back into his seat. He likes the window seat, and flight attendant usually puts a blanket on him, and he goes to sleep prior to landing. He wakes up so he can look out the window. And I've never taught him anything, so it's amazing to me how he knows how smart he is. I mean, he's the most intelligent dog I've ever met.
Now, Quentin's goal is to end the use of gas chambers in the United States?
That's one of them,
just
and
one.
We're doing it. Quentin got rid of the gas chamber here in St. Louis.
Good.
That just happened, and it was a big victory for us. There's a city, and I apologize, I don't know the name of the city, but we just got rid of the gas chamber there, too. But it took some, writing and sending them his story. And also I try to show other cities that still use the gas chamber how it can be cost-effective, and it actually is cheaper.
How many cities would you say are still using the gas chamber
today?
Well,
you know, I'm working on a story with National Geographic right now, and I'm finding out from the reporter there that it's still used widely across America, mostly in rural areas.
Amazing.
But I'm also finding out shooting is still being used, and clubbing. And in two counties in Missouri, it's being used. And I was like, what? And so I'm learning, even when I did the research for the book, I knew that it was being used often in rural areas, in smaller communities. But I didn't realize that the scope of it.
Wow.
And because I don't think people realize it. And it's not also a peaceful death, because I thought it'd only be right that I watch one gassing.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't sleep for 24 hours and cried for probably 24 hours because for at least 2 minutes there was this horrible fighting and one dog was having seizures. It wasn't what I thought.
Uh-huh. They don't just breathe it and sleep.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
No, it's horrible and it's not very humane. Okay,
right.
So you're looking to do more than just that. Quentin is helping you actually change how we look at our animals, too.
Right. You know, the term guardian, I know some people are afraid of that term, and because I've been, I've received a few letters, but I always say it's not giving a dog or a cat the right to drive and vote, it might be a better city if we did.
I don't know, what's wrong with that?
but if we can start getting our children to think, to take responsibility at an early age, and using terms like guardian, the goal of the term guardian is to try to change the mindset of the way people think of animals, and so we're not so quick to throw them away or toss them to the curb like an old couch. And we're a throwaway society. We've, you know, over the years, we really have become such a throwaway society. And we need to respect animals and not and take care of them and treat them as part of the family and with some respect and be quite aware that they do know how to, you know, all I need to know is that they know how to suffer and feel pain. And we need to guard them from that. So it's a way of thinking, and Quentin did change a law here in St. Louis where you're no longer an owner, you're a guardian.
Which takes on different legal ramifications, especially with the court system, too. Animals are not treated as property anymore.
Right, because, you know, if someone came into your house and stole your VCR and stole your dog, it's the same crime.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, if somebody shot your dog and somebody hit your TV with a hammer and broke your TV, it's the same crime.
Jeez.
And us folks that love animals and love our dogs and cats, no, it's not the same.
No.
There must be a great deal, or at one time especially, a great deal of frustration, sadness, probably feeling overwhelmed, kind of a curiousness as to why an advanced civilization treats their animals like this?
That's my driving force, though. For me, it's because I do feel, everything you just said is how I feel almost every day of my life.
Yeah.
But it's also what keeps me driven and focused at doing what I can.
Do you ever feel like throwing your arms up in the air?
Yeah, you know what I would love is a vacation.
what do you do when you get discouraged to change the way you think? Many people that are listening to this show work within the industry and find themselves frustrated frequently. Some of them give up. What words of encouragement can you give people that work within the animal industry?
To focus on the big picture. And then the little things don't feel as overwhelming. I mean, that's what I do. It's like I could let every small thing that happens in animal welfare and rescue and in shelter management, all the little things could totally drive you insane and make you throw in the towel. But when you're faced with animal cruelty, abuse, neglect, or anything, sure it's sad and you got to absorb that sadness, but turn it into something. That's why you're doing this, is to change this, to make this a better place for animals. And that's how I, you know what, you lock yourself in your room for 24 hours and go fetal. I've done that before, just to recharge.
I do that every day.
Well, you know, you need to recharge your battery as well.
Those are very good words of encouragement.
You know, but you just have to try to stay positive. When I take the negatives and I go, well, I don't want to see this happen again. What can I do?
Very good. We're talking with Randy Grimm, who's the author of The Man Who Talks to Dogs, but most recently, Miracle Dog. He's talking about Quentin, who survived the gas chamber, a wonderful dog with ears bigger than his face. And I understand has a little bit of a flatulence problem.
Well, he can. And he can embarrass you at moments. He's done it even on a television interview.
Okay, tell us, give us a high note to end on here.
Well, you know what? There's nothing when you know people toot and they blame it on the dog. I really do blame it on the dog. It's the dog. Quentin can toot more than I thought of trying Beano or something, but he can toot if he gets excited or if he's running. And what makes me laugh is that when he's doing it, he's, you know, people get embarrassed. He's like, la da 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 da, rap, rip, 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 rip. And it just really makes you laugh. So.
We should be more like dogs.
Good man, Randy. I appreciate your time. We have 5 copies to give away at 1-866-405-8405. That's 1-866-405-8405. Randy Grimm's Miracle Dog. Pick it up in probably just about anywhere. It has a nice foreword from Jane Goodall. Randy, you've come a far way.
And also, you know, Quentin has his website, which is themiracledog.com.
Themiracledog.com. We'll put a link from animalradio.com for those of you driving. And we wish you the best of luck, Randy.
All righty.
Please keep us posted on your tour.
I sure will.
And how that's going. We have more Animal Radio on the way. Stick around.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe! Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
No problem with the breeze. I'll take the breeze.
Oh, it feels good, doesn't it?
We are coming to you live from Oxnard, California.
Woohoo!
Actually, this is where Animal Radio got its start in Ventura, California. So
originated right here back in the year 2000.
It's sort of like coming home again. This is our pet-friendly tour of America. We are at PetSmart with Randy Berger. How are you doing, Randy?
Great.
And we just spoke to Randy Grimm, and in just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk to a 15-year-old young lady who started her own shelter.
When she was 12.
12 years old.
Yeah, she's an amazing girl.
She really has it together. If I only had it half together when I was 15 years old.
Or now.
How true are you?
Yes.
Anyway, I wanted to remind you that the cartridge drive is still on here at Animal Radio. We're accepting your inkjet cartridges, your laser cartridges, and your old cell phones. All of them.
Everything but Epson.
Sorry about that, Epson. Yes. You're going to have these spent cartridges. They're going to be in your printer, and if you take them and throw them into the landfill, it does none of us any good. You send them to us, we take them, we turn them into money, just like that. And then we fund things like educational programming, our adoption events, the mega adoption events. You send them to Post Office Box 129, and that's in Kanab, K-A-N-A-B, Utah, 84741. And then if you're driving along right now and you didn't get that address, you could head on over to animalradio.com and get all that information. In fact, anything you hear on the show, if you need a website or something like that, all of that information is at animalradio.com. We are going to be back in just a couple of minutes with more Animal Radio live from Oxnard, California.
Stick around.
You lucky
so
devil.
So you want to stop smoking. Well, here's what I want you to do. Go to a drugstore and take a stop smoking product off the shelf. Go to the cashier, tell them you don't want to pay for the product, you just want to take it home and try it. And if, and only if you stop smoking, will you then come back and pay for it. Most likely, if you've tried this, you'd be arrested. But as silly as this sounds, this is exactly what the Final Smoke free trial offer is. Final Smoke is a complete all-natural stop smoking system, and when you call today, they'll send you a 30-day supply of the program absolutely free. This program eliminates withdrawals, cravings, and includes a 30-day supply of Final Smoke capsules, a guide to living smoke-free book, an audio support program, a capsule holder, and a bottle of Triple Trim Weight Loss, just in case you're worried about gaining weight while you're trying to quit. To find out if you qualify for this free trial offer, join the tens of thousands who have quit for life with Final Smoke. Call 1-800-684-5908. 1-800-684-5908. This is a limited-time offer, so call 1-800-684-5908 now.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
And we are coming to you live from PetSmart in Oxnard, California, part of the Pet Friendly America Tour. I want to thank Frontline. America Animal Radio is brought to you by Frontline Plus. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks. And I want to thank PetSmart for letting us hang out in front of their location today and play with everybody that's coming in and out and look at all the big macho guys with the little poodles and everything.
We're out front. We've got Randy Berger here.
Hey, Randy.
Hi.
She's the author of My Recycled Pets, Diary of a Dog Addict, and she also has her own shelter that she's been running for a few years.
Your own shelter? How many animals are at that?
It's not a shelter. Our dogs are
rescue.
It's a rescue. Our dogs are kept in private foster homes because I'm not comfortable with cages and crates and all that. that. So if you some of the pictures throughout the book, you'll see dogs like at the Thanksgiving table.
Oh,
no,
I love
humans.
That picture.
There's about 10 dogs sitting around the table at Thanksgiving. No humans invited that year.
Very good. I want. Well, I was going to say, I guess I couldn't come.
No,
so
you couldn't. You'd have I to would. Become a dog.
Yeah.
Your book is called My Recycled Pet's Diary of a Dog Addict. What's your favorite part of that book?
Well, I have to actually say it was in this part of Southern California at the Camarillo Animal Shelter in Ventura County here where my addiction became really out of control, and I used to take between 100 and 200 dogs out of the shelter.
Wow. Yeah,
and you would find foster homes for them?
That was a year, not a day.
Okay, I was going to say.
And then, actually, there are certain shelters you can find a lot of cute, very adoptable dogs that are matted and sitting in a corner shaking that aren't adoptable in a shelter, but you pull them out, clean them up, and all of a sudden 100 people are wanting to adopt them. And that was that's what happened at this shelter for me. So
you were sort of a bitter person. Things changed for you. Well, you admitted that yourself.
Oh, yeah,
I didn't know you when
it's
you were
a bitter
person.
It's hard to believe. Yes, I can't believe it.
And with daily affirmations, you sort of work your way through the world and its ugliness and turn everything into beauty, huh?
Well, I have to. Anyone who works with the animals, too, you really have to focus on the positive and finding the good and being really focused on your goal and what you want to create, not what isn't happening and not the bad that's surrounding us, because we can choose our thoughts and we can focus on all the animals that are given up or the ones that we're helping, and it's a choice. And that's what will drive us to continue to do whatever our passion is in our lives here.
And do you just focus one animal at a time, get through this animal and on to the next?
Yeah, I mean, we get 50 to 100 dogs a month coming in that need help, from owners wanting us to take them. So, again, we just focus on, you know, what we can do and the ones that we can help. And yeah.
We have a lot of listeners here in Los Angeles on Coast and KTMS in Santa Barbara. Thank God. Thank you for listening, because now we can pay rent. But seriously, if they want to help you out, not only in a financial way, maybe volunteering time, how can they get in touch with you? What is your website? How can they get your book? Give us all the details.
Okay, our website is www.recycledpetsrescue.com, and the book is available on our website as well as any online bookstore. And
but it's better to get it on your website now because it's tax deductible. Tell us why.
For right now, because the book just came out, it's if people get it directly through us, I'll send a signed copy anywhere in the country, and it's a tax deductible donation to the rescue.
Very good.
And that information's on our website.
And if you didn't get her website, you could head on over to animalradio.com. We'll put a link as well as her phone number and all the pertinence about Randy Berger, who's an inspiration to me, actually. Almost 40 years old, and she has taught me a lot already, just in the few weeks that I've known her. We are coming to you from PetSmart, live in Oxnard, California. Thank you so much, PetSmart. We're going to talk right now to a young lady, 15 years old. It's sort of an inspirational show today. We have all these inspirational people, 15 years old.
She's an amazing girl.
Hi, Augie. Hey, Augie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hi, Augie.
What a cute little voice you got there. It's where are we calling you, first of all?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And how old are you? 15 years old, and we got at least 3 or 4 emails from different people saying that we need to call you up because you are an incredible kid who's doing amazing things for animals. First of all, tell our listeners what you're doing.
Well, since I was 12 years old, I was searching Pet Finder one time, and I found out about these dogs that were only given 5 days to find homes, and when their 5 days were up, they were euthanized using a gas chamber. So I went to my parents and said, is there anything that we can do to help these dogs? And they said, well, if you think that we could find them homes, then we might be able to help. So after that, since then, we've been taking dogs in that are going to be put to sleep. We try to take dogs in that most need our help, you know, that are most, you know, not going to be adopted where they're at. We take them in and we get everything done with them, all their shots, and prepare them to find a new home.
Wow. Wow. I guess your parents, they were pretty open to this whole idea, huh?
I think they do it because I love it. But I think, yeah, they really support me in what I do. I mean, they wanted to help.
I assume you're doing this at your house.
Yes.
So you have probably several dogs at your house at one time, huh?
Yeah, we usually take in around 2 to 4 dogs at a time because I have my own 3 dogs.
Wow.
Where do you put them? Do you have places for them?
Yeah, we have a padded dog kennel. It has padded kennel flooring in it, and it's a big 6x6 foot kennel. So whenever we're not home or at night, the dogs go in the kennel. But during the day, we have a big fenced-in yard and everything. So the dogs really get to go around our house and outside, get to interact with the other dogs. And we get to train them to see how they'd be like in a home environment.
Well, I would imagine the dogs that you're getting, you said you're getting the ones that that really need it. Some of them are probably not puppies, but older. And some less desirable animals. Do you find it hard adopting them out?
It can be. I mean, it can take a while to find some of these dogs' homes because, I mean, dogs like pit bulls, you know, people, they have such a bad rap, and people don't understand the breed, you know, that they really are good dogs. And the older dogs, we try to make people realize the benefits of adopting dogs like this. Like, for older dogs, the older dogs that we take in are already housebroken.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to make people realize that these dogs have so many great benefits from adopting an older dog. And there are wonderful people out there that realize that. And we've found many dogs great homes.
Do you find it hard to let go of these dogs?
Yes. I get very attached to them. But it seems like over the years and everything, I've realized the part that I play in this,
uh-huh.
and that my job is to just take them in and just prepare them for a new home. And letting go is always hard, but we usually always hear back from the people that adopt them, and it's just so great then once you see that you did this and that this dog now has a wonderful life.
Do you ever get frustrated
about letting them go, or
just in general? About anything, really.
About that there's so many animals out there that are being euthanized.
Yeah, I mean, it really is saddening. I mean, it hurts whenever you go into these shelters and you see that these are highly adoptable dogs. And, I mean, they have nothing wrong with them. I mean, their only wrongdoing is that they were just not wanted. And, I mean, it's sad because there's so many dogs that I could help. And they're just being put to sleep out there. I mean, they're healthy adoptable dogs that just want, you know, a compassionate owner to take them in and love them, and it's just sad that there's not enough homes out there for all of them.
Yeah. Does anybody come to you and say you can't save all the animals?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just really sad because people always tell me, they're like, you know, you can't save them all, but I'm always like, you know, whatever you can do, you know, let's try.
How many would you say you have saved so far?
Well, we've had 60 dogs in our house.
Wow.
And everything that we have gotten their shots, spayed and neutered them, and we homed them. But we work with several other animal rescues and shelters that we all kind of help each other out. Whenever we find out about dogs and shelters, we'll see how much room everybody has. So
everybody just comes together. And
yeah, we all try to help out. And, I mean, any life that we can save, that's one more life.
What do your friends say?
They're very supportive of it. I mean, I've had so many wonderful people come up to me and say, well, what can I do? And, I mean, I've just had such great support from everybody.
It costs money to do this, doesn't it?
Yes.
How do you get your money?
Most of it actually comes out of our own pockets. But I've done several fundraisers. Party for Pound Puppies was one of them that we did at my house.
What was that?
We had it in the summer, and we had people come over to our house and everything. We had dogs looking for homes, games, swimming, and everything. And we were able to raise $450 that day.
Wow, that's great.
I guess you put together a video for Ellen DeGeneres, is that correct?
Yes.
And you told the story of Harley, who didn't have the name Harley. He was just known as Cage 55, is that right?
Yes.
That's kind of disappointing when they're just known as numbers, huh?
Yeah, at some of these shelters, there's just so many dogs come in and out of the shelter that it's almost like they're not even worth giving a name to.
Aww.
And this little dog had been there for about a month and a half, which was actually too long to be at this shelter.
Uh-huh.
And he was a little dog. He was a little miniature pincher mix. And sometimes these dogs are just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, around where I live, you know, people there's so many people looking for a dog like him.
Okay. And you live in Pennsylvania, so the listeners that are listening, are you anywhere near Reading?
I think we might be a couple hours away.
Okay, well, we have a station in Reading, so if you're listening on WEEU, listen up. Here's a website that I want you to remember. It's AugiesDoggiesRescue.org. And it's kind of a tough URL, so we'll put a link from animalradio.com. Do you have pictures of the animals you're looking for homes?
We always we update it whenever we take in new dogs, and all the pictures are on there, and hopefully we'll get some stories up soon of dogs that found homes.
Do you have a place on your website where people can make direct donations?
Yes, so we have a How You Can Help page, and it gives information on how everybody can help.
Well, you sound like you have it pretty together for 15 years old.
I wish I was that together now.
Yeah. If there are kids listening, teenagers listening, that might be interested in doing the same thing in their area, what kind of tips or hints would you give them?
I would just say contact your local shelter and see what you can do to help. All shelters, they need help in whatever ways you can give, whether it's walking dogs or help with fundraising or anything. And I just think that if you believe that you can do it and you work hard, you can save many lives.
Very good. I commend you for what you're doing.
Awesome job you're doing.
Thank you.
We think it's awesome, and we're going to help you as much as possible to get a little money and hopefully place some of these animals. And we hope you continue doing this for the rest of your life, because the world needs more people like you.
Thank you so much.
Any ideas of your future going into any kind of animal industry, veterinarian or working for a shelter or doing anything like that in the future?
Oh, yeah, whenever I grow up, I really would like to become a vet.
Uh-huh.
And this summer, our wonderful vet that works with us might let me shadow her. And hopefully I'll be fortunate enough to get into vet school. So.
Awesome.
Very good.
Very good.
Augie, you're awesome. We'll put links from the animalradio.com website. Head on over to animalradio.com. Augie, thanks for taking time to spend with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you.
Coming to you live from Oxnard, California, in front of PetSmart for our Pet Friendly America tour on Animal Radio Network. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk to one of those agencies that's out here visiting PetSmart and adopting animals. My favorite, I'm not specious, but it's a cat organization. Cat's Cradle is going to be joining us in just a second. And I was hoping to get that dog back out here that shakes its moneymaker. I know this is radio, but it's so cute.
I missed it.
Does a little trick for treats. That's all coming up live right here on Animal Radio. Also, more from Randy Berger, My Recycled Pets, just a moment away right here on Animal Radio Network. Stick around.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
This is Gary Helton for the Animal Radio Network. Separation anxiety can occur in dogs of all ages and breeds. These dogs may bark frequently when they are left alone, sometimes barking for hours. Most dogs, when left alone, find a familiar spot and go to sleep. However, a dog suffering from separation anxiety will become extremely anxious, or they may actually become destructive by chewing on household items and scratching at the doors. In extreme cases, your dog may become depressed, suffer from diarrhea, and even bite himself. They don't understand where you've gone or if you'll ever come back. This disorder can be found in specific breed characters, genetics, and even in the way the owner has trained and treated the animal. Dogs in the wild are pack animals, and domestic dogs have transferred this attachment to their owners. Some people think that their dog is barking and tearing up the home on purpose and that he's a bad dog, but this behavior is related to being a pack animal. If you punish your dog for this, you can actually make the situation worse. Separation anxiety is one of the major common reasons that dogs are surrendered to shelters or euthanized, but there are things you can do to help. You might try crating your dog. By limiting his range of motion, you can actually reduce his anxiety and stress. And he can't do much damage to your house if he's confined. It's a good idea to make sure that he has some toys to chew on while he's in the crate. You should also ignore your dog just before leaving. By that I mean don't make a lot of fuss by giving him extra attention and then stop all of a sudden and leave. Some people actually leave the radio or TV on while they're gone so their dog can hear human voices. You can leave these on in a room where you usually are and then close the door. When your dog hears it, he might feel that someone else is in the home. Another good idea is to exercise your dog before you leave the house. A tired dog is less likely to be stressed. You can do this by taking him for a long walk. If you don't have the time, 10 minutes of playing, such as chasing a ball, is also a good way to exercise him before you leave. You can practice these procedures several times, leaving your dog for longer periods each time. Remember to give him rewards for good behavior. This is behavior modification, and this should eventually reduce his anxiety and stress. If you can, you might want to consider getting another dog. The new dog can keep your dog company and distract him when you leave. This will also give him someone to play with while you're gone. There are also products on the market that can help. Farnham Pet Products has created Comfort Zone with DAP, a dog-appeasing pheromone. Comfort Zone's DAP mimics a natural reassuring pheromone produced by female dogs when nursing. This can reduce or completely stop stress-related behavior including barking, whimpering and whining, chewing, urination and defecation, and reduce or eliminate separation anxiety. You can also use it to calm dogs during thunderstorms and firework displays. Farnham also makes Comfort Zone with Feel-Away for cats. To find out more about these products, go to www.farnhampet.com. Remember, there are ways to reduce stress anxiety in your dog, but extreme cases should be referred to a qualified animal behavior consultant or your veterinarian. With patience and understanding, you and your dog can overcome this. Learn more about everything we've talked about today at your complete animal supersite, animalradio.com.
Coming to you live today from Oxnard, California.
Woohoo!
Which is actually where Animal Radio got its start.
Back in the year 2000. We've been around for a few years
so
now.
It's like coming home, isn't it?
It is. I love it here.
And it is. We're actually broadcasting outside, and the temperature, we have a little thermometer in front of us. It says it's 90 degrees.
Well, it's in the sun. If you move it, I'm sure, to the shade. I don't think it's quite 90, but it is gorgeous.
It's a beautiful day. We have some great inspirational speakers today. And the thing I love about PetSmart, did I mention that's where we are? I love PetSmart. I'll tell you why. Because they do not sell dogs or cats.
No, they don't.
However, every weekend and sometimes during the week, they have agencies come in and adopt out animals.
And win-win situation.
It is for everybody because there's no reason that you should go to a breeder or buy a pet because there's too many animals that are being put to sleep, frankly. About 5 million a year. The number's going down, but that's still way too many. We have with us, what is your name, young lady?
Jan.
Jan? Mm-hmm. And you are from Cat's Cradle Rescue. Where is that?
Well, actually, we have no office. We have no paid staff. We're just, our kittens are fostered in the homes of our volunteers.
And that's frequently the case with many rescues, isn't it?
Yes.
They don't really have offices because it takes a lot of money, doesn't
it?
Right.
And what we want is we want all our money to go to the benefit of the cat.
Do you have to do any fundraisers ever? You take donations. Other ways that you raise money?
We accept donations, absolutely. We accept donations of cat food because we also go out and feed feral populations in the Oxnard Ventura area.
Trap, neuter, and return type of thing?
That's correct. We get them spayed.
Thanks so much for speaking with us today. I'm going to come in and check out the cats in just a few minutes.
They're beautiful.
Don't let them take any home. Please. No, please.
Thanks so much. Randy Berger is still with us. I want to thank you for coming out today. You've an inspiration to everybody. Just because you turn everything negative into something positive, and there's so much to be negative about these days. Your book is My Recycled Pets. How can people get that?
You can go to our website at www.recycledpetsrescue.com, and all the information on our rescue is also on our website. And my rescue started in 1987, and we also are a no-cage foster home type of an organization.
You rely on volunteers.
Yeah.
Donations.
And foster homes, exactly. And donations. I was going to say, also, when you adopt an animal, it's really important. A lot of the newer rescues will say a $75 donation, and I say a minimum $75 donation.
Because it costs more than that just for you to take care of these animals.
Right. So all the if you're adopting an animal, give as much as you can to that organization. It's usually a tax deduction.
Okay, before we go today, we want to remind you there's no reason to go out and buy an animal from a breeder. You can get any kind of breed, whether it be a cat or a dog, from a breed rescue. If you want that Rhodesian Ridgeback, don't go to a breeder. For God's sakes, there's Rhodesian Ridgeback rescues all over.
They're out there looking for homes.
Also, remember, when you get your pet,
spay or neuter.
Now, I've been saying spay and neuter. You only have to do one of those, whatever your doctor says.
If you're not sure, ask him.
Yeah, he'll know. That's why he's wearing the white coat. Also, our cartridge drive for collecting cartridges is still on. Don't throw those inkjet cartridges or laser cartridges or cell phones away into the landfills. We'll take them. The address is at animalradio.com. Live from Oxnard, California. We'll see you next week right here on Animal Radio. Have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
And when we say from all across the globe,
we mean all across the globe.
Coming to you live from Oxnard, California, and
Woo-hoo!
PetSmart. Today on the Pet Friendly America Tour, we have Randy Berger with us. How you doing?
Hi, great.
It's a beautiful day here, isn't it?
Gorgeous.
The sight of all the dogs walking in is the most beautiful part of this day.
And it's the little chihuahuas that think they're much bigger than the big pit bulls that go chasing after them. And we just saw, what kind of dog was that we just saw? That was so cute.
I'm not sure. What was that?
An ancient Maltese that was in someone's arms who obviously loves their four-legged child.
What a cutie. I took a bunch of pictures. We'll post them on the animalradio.com website. And inspirational show today. We have a very special guest with us, Dr.
Jennifer Conrad.
I always call her Dr. J. Trying to remember what the full
formal
name was. Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. We've been waiting for your call, and we understand that you had an emergency. What was the emergency?
A little tiny bird, quail, actually, that is a wild bird, but someone had been keeping because there was something wrong with him. Oh, well, we found out what was wrong with him. His foot was necrosing, and his little toes were falling off.
Oh.
And he was bleeding all over everywhere, so I had to bandage his little foot and send him on the way to a bird doctor.
Because you're not a bird doctor, are you?
Well, I will deal with birds if no one else is available, like in the instance this morning, but I don't know birds as well as I should.
What hospital do you work at?
I have my own clinic. It's a mobile clinic.
A mobile clinic?
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's cool. So you travel around all day, huh?
I travel around, and I do mostly exotic animals like lions and tigers and things.
Whoa. Lions and tigers. Wow, okay.
No bears?
I do bears, actually, but I didn't want to go there.
we will take you there.
Judy had to go there.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, you started the Paw Project, I'd say probably 4 or 5 years ago now?
It's 5 years, yeah.
Okay. And the Paw Project's mission is to educate the public about the painful and crippling effects of feline decline, because not a lot of people know that decline is really a major procedure, which is like an amputation up to the first knuckle, and is really not necessary. And I pretty much said it all, so see you later.
Well, actually, let me just tell you a couple other things. It's an amputation of the last bone. It would be the equivalent of amputating the last bone in our fingers. And it's only done to protect couches. And I personally believe that cats have more rights than couches.
Yes.
And that we should protect the cats, and we should teach cats where we want them to scratch. But I think that cats get a pleasure from scratching that we have no idea about, because we don't have anything that we do in our lives similar to that.
Uh-huh.
And to deny them that is just really, I think, very unfair.
Well, why is it the public is so miseducated, and why is it there's so many veterinarians that hang a shingle outside the special decline?
Well, I think the public isn't that miseducated, except for in this country, that it's illegal in most of the rest of the world. In fact, in the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons in Great Britain, it says they call declawing unnecessary mutilation.
Wow, that's what it is.
And so this country, unfortunately, because the euphemism is declawing instead of what it really is, which is de-knuckling or amputating a bone, people don't realize, they think it's some magical way that a veterinarian removes the claws that they couldn't do at home, and they don't realize that they're actually subjecting their cat to 10 amputations.
Again, why is it that there are a majority of veterinarians that have no problem doing this procedure and not really enlightening the patient's guardian as to what the procedure is?
Well, I guess you'd have to ask a veterinarian who does it why they think that. Veterinarians whom I've asked about why do they do this, they say, well, it's either that or the cat's going to the pound. But statistically, a declawed cat has a higher chance of going to the pound because of the behavior problems that ensue after declawing.
And what behavior problems are those?
Well, a declawed cat very often has to bite because it's been robbed of its primary defense, which is, you know, its claws are now gone, so now it has to bite to protect itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing that happens is when they dig in the sand, I think it's painful, and so that they stop using the box.
So there's litter box problems often following decline, and that sometimes leads to animals being surrendered. So it's really not the last resort. There are many solutions. What are those solutions?
Well, the solutions include finding the appropriate scratching post. Now, if your cat scratches on wood, then you might want to get something similar like sisal rope for the cat to scratch on. If your cat scratches on carpet, then get a carpet scratching post. And if you're not sure what your cat likes, then you have to try different ones. I recommend the cardboard, the corrugated cardboard, because I don't know a cat that doesn't like it.
How do you retrain an animal from using the couch to using the scratching post?
Well, the way that I do it is you offer them the appropriate scratching post somewhere near where they're scratching, and then you can put double-sided sticky tape on the couch, and when the cat goes to scratch there, they don't like the feel of that, and then they are redirected. As well as if you make the scratching post a place where they were playing and is something that's theirs, they seem to think, okay, I'm going to mark this all the time and not the couch anymore.
I heard somewhere where you could take like a cloth and rub it up against the side of a cat's mouth and then rub it on the scratching post to transfer their scent and that they'll be attracted to it.
I think that would work too because they do have scent glands in the side of their mouth as mm-hmm. well as in their paws.
Or you can even use catnip to kind of entice them to go to the scratching post.
Right, that works too.
We use the double-sided tape thing, but one of our cats really likes the taste of adhesive and the smell
it.
Of adhesive. And
he just licked it. That's
he just licked it. But I'll tell you, yeah. We, of course, and not a lot of people do this, but we, of course, have all concrete floors and furniture.
Uh-huh.
So that was our solution.
My solution was all tile.
All tile, very good.
That works.
Okay, I have a tough one for you because I don't even know how to answer this one. And we just heard this one last week. Who was it? Doctor, crazy guy. Animal Medical Center.
Dr. Shulman.
Dr. Shulman, Alan Shulman. Are you familiar with him?
Yes.
Said that he doesn't hang a shingle out. Out of the 15,000 patients he has, he's done 40 claws in a year. And he says they are in ultimate situations, last resort situations. He gave us a situation which seemed legitimate to me. The situation being coming out of West Hollywood.
Right. No, I'll tell you his situation, which is absolutely full of fallacy, though. I have to tell
you. Well, let's tell the listeners what the situation is first.
The situation is that you have some HIV positive people or immunocompromised in some way people, and you are going
to
declaw the cat to protect them.
Makes
either
sense
they're on
to
blood
me,
thinners
right?
or who knows what. Well, the situation is consult a human doctor. Don't consult your veterinarian about your declawing your cat, because a human doctor will know that a declawed cat is more likely to bite, and if your cat bites you, then you're on your way to the emergency room no matter what. If your cat scratches you and you call the emergency room, they're going to say, okay, if you can't stop the bleeding, come in. But if you are, and just clean it. But if you are bitten, they're going to tell you, you have to come to the emergency room and you have to go on antibiotics. So the number one and number two problems that cat produced for people who are immunocompromised. The first one is from number two, actually. It's from the litter box. It's from toxoplasmosis.
Yes.
So unless you're going to put a little cork in your cat, then that's the real threat from a cat. The second problem is from biting, and that, unless you're going to defang your cat.
Oh, gosh, don't tell me people do that.
Well, no, they don't, because I'm saying to you, the number one and number two problem are nothing to do with scratching. In fact, cat scratch fever is now known to come from flea bites and not from cat scratches. So
ultimately, there's really no reason whatsoever.
There's no reason. In fact, if you look if you talk to infectious disease specialists and they are aware about cats, then they will know that a cat who's declawed is more likely to bite, and you are asking for trouble. So that is just not a good argument.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that answer.
Yeah, we're really learning something all the time.
I was a little worried about that. If people want to learn more about this, if they're thinking of declawing their cat, they should go to www.pawproject.com. What are they going to find there?
Well, they're going to find years of research. They're going to find answers like I just gave you. They're going to find that declawing a cat is really not necessary. There's no reason to do it, and that it's going to change your cat's personality more likely than not and make the cat not the cat that you knew. And therefore, most of these cats are on their way to the pound. Now, if you know a cat who's been declawed and it doesn't seem to have any problems, then you're lucky. But in the literature, in the veterinary literature, 50% of cats who are declawed have immediate surgical problems, and 20% will have long-standing for the rest of their life problems, and 33% will have behavioral changes. 33%, that's 1 in 3.
Okay.
And 1 in 5 will have forever problems. So this is not what you do if you love your cat.
Well, you know, I've talked to people that have had their cats declawed, and only by prompting them and asking them a lot of questions do you find out that there are behavioral changes. They don't associate it. No,
right.
They don't realize it. And then you start talking with them, and they're like, you know what? It did happen about the same time I had them declawed. I didn't realize it.
Right.
And they're not associating the changes.
Exactly. Well, that's part of the education campaign, and that's why I'm hoping that veterinarians will stop doing this, because they're not seeing what's happening to their patients, and they don't know that they're doing something so awful. Apparently, they don't know it.
Well, there's a lot of controversy, and even the big association of veterinarians sometimes says it's okay.
Well, of course they say it's okay. It's one of the most lucrative things a veterinarian can do. I mean, the average vet is charging $225 to $500 to declaw a cat. It takes 5 minutes to do, and there's no overhead. It's a big money maker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell people a little bit about the wild animals that you handle. You actually are dealing with animals that have been declawed. Is that correct?
I deal with animals that have been and haven't been, and I prevent a lot of animals from being declawed, I hope. But mostly the Paw Project started because I had at one time 40 declawed big cats, and all of them were extremely lame and suffering from it. And I thought, there is something that has to be done about this. So when one of those animals died, it was a cougar, I opened up his paws and dissected them out to see what was wrong. And I couldn't believe what I found. I found that he had nail regrowth and pus and bone, and that his pads were completely shriveled. Mm. And I went, I can do something about this for the remaining cats. And so I took one to surgery. He was a 3.5-year-old, 550-pound Siberian tiger who had been declawed and who wasn't walking on his toes any longer. He was walking back. I took him to surgery. And after surgery, he stood up like a regular cat. And I thought, I think he probably just can't feel his paws, but he never fell back down, and he's still,
wow,
5 years later, still walking like a champion.
Now, where are these tigers coming from? Are they zoos? Are they privately owned?
Well, most of them are in sanctuaries. They were at one time privately owned, either for the movie business or because many people think that they can have a tiger and it will be so cool, until they realize that it's going to eat 15 pounds of steak a day, and maybe that's a little expensive on top of the fact that when it's grumpy, it might want to eat them. And so then they start to realize that they have to dump the pet, and the idea of having a pet tiger, and then that's how they get sanctuary.
Very, very good. We appreciate your time and what you're doing. We think it's awesome. www.pawproject.com. We'll put a link, of course, from animalradio.com. Also, I believe you'll be joining us at the Mega Adoption in Burbank. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's my plan.
Okay, we'll have a booth up there, and you can get all the information from Dr. Jennifer Conrad from the Paw Project. Thanks for taking time to join us today. We'll let you get back to your important work.
Oh, thank you very much.
This is Animal Radio Network.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe! Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
I'm talking about my dog Chance and what a great product Comfort Zone has been. He had a lot of severe anxiety, separation problems. He redecorated my house several times for me when I had left him alone. Through a friend who gave me as a gift Comfort Zone, I started using it about 9 months ago. At one point, I ran out of it for a month, and I saw a definite change in his personality right away. He's a small terrier-type dog, and he has a high energy level. Without it, he just is out of control. He can't seem to control himself. I work nights, and I had hoped that I would be able to leave Chance by himself. Before I got Comfort Zone, that was totally impossible. He had even jumped through one of the windows in my home and came down to where I work. After using Comfort Zone, I'm able to leave him in the evenings. He's a very much calmer dog. Even in the daytime, he's more relaxed. It's a godsend. I don't know what we would do without it. I think it's a great product, and it's really changed our lives. Comfort Zone is a godsend for us.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
And we truly mean all across the globe today, coming to you from Oxnard, California. Woo-hoo! Returning home to where Animal Radio started.
Back in the year 2000.
It is a beautiful day. It says 93. I know it's
no,
not 93.
That's but thermometers in the sun.
It's just the clouds have parted. The rain is... it actually went away days ago, so we can set up. And we have Eloise from PetSmart. By the way, thank you so much for letting us come out and hang in front of the store today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, yes. Not a problem. It's a fortunate thing to have you guys out here.
We love PetSmart for a bunch of reasons, and I'm just about to help you list them off. And the first is that you don't sell any dogs or cats, do you?
No, we're not into selling dogs or cats, and the reason why is we are trying to alleviate the euthanization of all those homeless animals. So we're into adopting pets out. We adopt cats. We currently don't have dog adoptions, but we do a lot of cat adoptions,
really?
Both Saturdays and Sundays.
And they're different shelters from the local area?
Well, they're local local organizations that are rescue organizations. So the majority of these animals that are here are animals that have been rescued from the pound or animals that have been rescued from the streets or areas where they're out there homeless. These rescue organizations come in and they try and find good homes for these pets.
Very good.
This is one smart lady here, and now I know why she's the not the operations manager.
Store manager.
We're working towards district manager eventually. You'll have that position.
Remember her name.
Yes, she's going places, I'll tell you. Also, you have here grooming. Is that correct?
We offer lots of services. We offer a training program and grooming services. It's pretty much a salon for your pet they come and they get pampered here.
So you can drop them off and walk over to Blockbuster and come back and pick up your animals and do a little shopping here,
right,
too.
Right, exactly.
And now I hear rumor, and I haven't been inside yet. Shame on me, I will after the show, because there's a lot of things I need to get. You have a veterinarian here?
Yes, we also offer veterinarian services. There's a veterinarian service that works out of our building. They're called Banfield. They actually offer really high quality services, from anything basic from your shots to the spay and neutering.
Wow, they do spay and neutering right there.
Right, they do spay and neutering also. They also have a shot clinic here on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And they've been here with us since since we opened since 96.
What about the classes? Do you have classes here? I see you have an area set up over there.
Right. We have a world-class training program here in which we have accredited trainers. They offer basic classes, puppy classes, and basically what we offer is we offer a lifetime training for pets. A wonderful investment. Pets learn how to simple cues like sit, come, stay, down. Actually, we've gotten throughout our company, we've gotten a few letters from customers where our training program has actually saved lives, where, you know, dogs were caught in traffic and the customer was not in the same area, or they were across the street and they were able to use a cue and the dog stayed.
That is amazing.
I love those stories.
So, yes, it's actually a life-saving thing that to invest some time into some training.
And you also have stuff for horses and fish.
Right.
And
we also have an equestrian department in our store, which is affiliated with State Line Tack.
Oh, very
so,
good.
So we've got a really large selection of lots of different equestrian items.
Am I missing anything?
No. Well, there's so much to talk about. I don't want to take up all your time here, but there's a lot to talk about.
And you have a pretty cool website, too.
Right. We also offer, we also have a PetSmart.com where there's a lot of additional items that can't be located in our store, but the .com warehouse is out of a separate area, so there's a lot of cool and exciting things that you might not see in the store, but you can access through PetSmart.com.
So I learned something new today. I didn't know that.
Well, when you're ready to move on from PetSmart, you come to Animal
come
Radio and let us know.
Okay. We'll
there's always an opening for you there. Eloise, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you very
us
much.
Today. We appreciate
thank you.
It.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Dr. Jill Richardson. It's flea and tick time again. Yeah, unfortunately, this time of year is when the fleas and ticks find themselves. And unfortunately,
you know, they can lay dormant for quite a while before they come back.
And then you can't just take ticks out by just pulling them off, because sometimes their little ugly heads stay in the animal and they keep
You got to get
blood.
Them all. Get the whole thing.
Dr. Jill Richardson will be with us. Also visiting us again in just a few minutes will be Randy Berger. She's the author of My Recycled Pets, Diary of a Dog Addict. She's a wonderful lady who's not just an animal rescuer. She is should be a motivational speaker is what I'm thinking.
I hope she's motivated you today. You already look happier. Let's hope it sticks.
You know how negative I am. If anything could go wrong, if anything's wrong, I will always make a big deal out of it.
You'll make it go wrong.
Yeah, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
This lady, if anything is wrong, she will make it right. Go ahead, pick up the microphone. Say hello.
Hi.
In just a couple of minutes, we'll talk about your book, My Recycled Pets. And we'll also find out, for those that are listening that are in the animal industry, I hate to say industry, that sounds so technological.
Yeah.
If you're in the welfare department,
furry,
it gets very frustrating.
Yes.
And she will give us some tips on how to get through that. That's all coming up in just a few minutes right here on Animal Radio. Stick around, you lucky devil.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe! Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
So you want to stop smoking. Well, here's what I want you to do. Go to a drugstore and take a stop smoking product off the shelf. Go to the cashier, tell them you don't want to pay for the product, you just want to take it home and try it. And if, and only if, you stop smoking, will you then come back and pay for it? Most likely, if you've tried this, you'd be arrested. But as silly as this sounds, this is exactly what the Final Smoke free trial offer is. Final Smoke is a complete all-natural stop smoking system, and when you call today, they'll send you a 30-day supply of the program absolutely free. This program eliminates withdrawals, cravings, and includes a 30-day supply of Final Smoke capsules, a guide to living smoke-free book, an audio support program, a capsule holder, and a bottle of Triple Trim Weight Loss, just in case you're worried about gaining weight while you're trying to quit. To find out if you qualify for this free trial offer, join the tens of thousands who have quit for life with Final Smoke. Call 1-800-684-5908. 1-800-684-5908. This is a limited time offer, so call 1-800-684-5908 now.
This is Animal Radio Network.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness
from all across the globe.
This is Animal Radio Network.
Welcome back to Animal Radio on Animal Radio Network, and no stranger to Animal Radio, Dr. Jill Richardson. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Where are we calling you?
I'm in New Jersey. Beautiful New Jersey.
Beautiful New Jersey. Is it a beautiful day in Jersey today?
It is a beautiful day in New Jersey.
Well, we want to talk about something that's not so beautiful, because it's important, though, and that's Lyme disease.
And Lyme disease.
Now, how do people and pets get Lyme disease?
Well, Lyme disease is going to be transmitted by the deer tick, and it's a really tiny tick. And the tick it latches onto people. And the interesting thing about ticks is that they secrete this fluid. It's almost like when you go to the dentist and they put that stuff on your gum. It's like a Novocaine, like a local anesthetic. And so when they bite us, we don't feel it.
Because it's an anesthetic.
Yeah, because if you got bit by a tick, you would know it. But they secrete that, so you don't feel it. And then they have this secretion that cements themselves into the animal or the human's body, so it keeps them, you know, where even if you're moving around or whatever, they don't go flying off. It keeps them cemented in there so they can feed the blood meal. And as they're feeding, they're going to be transmitting the disease through their secretions. And the studies, they're looking into Lyme disease more, and there's a lot of controversy on some of the things with it. They used to say a tick would have to feed on an animal or a human for 24 hours. Now they're saying about 2 to 3 days. But since you don't feel the initial bite, a lot of times you don't know how long the tick has been on you.
Now, where are these deer ticks? Are they in certain regions, or are they all over the United States?
Well, they're mainly going to be in the northeastern area. But with people traveling, they could bring them, you know, other parts of the United States.
So it's important to protect your pets wherever they are.
Prevention is key. And right now, especially, you know, across the United States, it's starting to get warmer. Most people across the United States, too, have had a very wet spring. So it's going to be very humid this summer. As it gets warmer and we're having a lot of humidity, the fleas are going to be horrible this year. So the key is you want to start now by preventing fleas and ticks, and, you know, keep your pets safe. And then as the summer goes along, you don't have to worry about waking up one day and the fleas are jumping on you. You want to start right now and not wait until you get an infestation before you start treating.
And if it's too late, what are the signs that we look for in our animals? What does a tick look like?
Well, a tick, there's actually hundreds of different ticks. You have a hard shell and a soft shell tick. So the hard shells are harder to kill, and the soft shells are, you know, pretty easy to squish. But there's several different types. So they can be very, very tiny, like the deer tick, or they can get like the one you see on dogs. You see the big ones that get sort of engorged with the blood. So they can become in different sizes and different shapes. With fleas look like a little brown flat, like a pepper flake, and they'll be moving around on your pet. When you see a flea on your pet, that means that there may be some fleas on your pet, but there's also immature flea stages in your carpet and around your pet's home. And you're only going to see 5% of the flea population that's an adult flea on your pet. That means 95% is going to be in your carpet and in the pet's quarters.
Now, you say you don't feel when the tick bites you. Do they burrow so you can't see them, or can you visually see them?
Well, you can, depending where they are. I mean, if they're on your scalp or something, you can feel like a bump.
Uh-huh.
And you may have someone else check it for ticks. but if you can have them on you and not even realize it until, you know, they look sort of, the small ones can look sort of like a mole.
Oh,
and
wow.
if you don't really wear shorts very often, you may not really see them on your legs or anything. But it's really important when you do have, with your pets, you want to check them, especially pets that go outdoors. You want to check them very frequently and look and see if you do see ticks on them. You want to use a flea and tick product that will also help kill and repel the ticks, too. And one of the most common types of products we use now are like the topical spot-ons and stripe-ons. Like we have the Hearts Advanced Care 4-in-1, which will help kill and repel adult fleas. It keeps the fleas from reproducing, so it's a flea birth control method. And then it also will kill and repel ticks and mosquitoes. And you apply that just once a month. Other things you can do is you can also treat your home with a flea and tick product. They have flea and tick powders and sprays and things like that. And actually, just basically vacuuming your house very frequently will help remove a lot of the immature flea stages from your carpet. If you have hardwood floors, you still want to vacuum the crevices and the little nooks and crannies around there where the flea larva can dwell in.
And you should empty your vacuum cleaner bag, shouldn't you?
Yeah.
Can they still survive in there for a while?
Oh, yeah. That's another place. If it's warm and humid in there, they're going to just be reproducing like crazy and then crawl out your vacuum. So you want to make sure you take those vacuum bags out in the garbage right away.
Okay.
But going back to if we find a tick or a flea, well, especially a tick on an animal, you can't just pull it off, can you?
Well, you can. They're actually Harch makes a tick removal kit, but there's different tick removal kits on the market. Some people will try to use like a tweezer or something. You want to be real careful when you do remove them. You want to make sure you get, if you use something like a tick removal kit, the tweezers in there or a pair of tweezers or hemostats, you just put you clamp as far as you can on the mouth so you're almost touching the skin. You don't want to leave the head of the tick in the animal's skin. But you want to remove it as quickly as you can. You don't want to let the tick feed on your pet and transmit disease. After that, you want to make sure you kill the tick. Flushing it down the commode, I've heard people say that, you know, they'll flush it on the commode, but then it'll be crawling up the side of the toilet. They're very, you know, tough animals. So you really want to make sure it's completely dead and get rid of it. And then you want to clean the area with maybe a little bit of antibacterial soap to make sure that you don't get an infection from it. And of course, with people, you want to wash your hands really well, too, and make sure the tick doesn't jump on you.
Now, what happens if you remove just the body and the head remains?
Well, if the head remains, it's going to be clamped down there, and it could potentially lead to like an infection site because it's a foreign body, and the body is going to reject it, and it may cause a little bit of like an inflammation or a little bit of infection at the site. So,
just like your ex-husband, Judy.
Just like my ex-husband, too. Yeah. So you want to make sure you go in there, and if you do suspect the head's still stuck in there, you may want to bring it to your vet, and they might have to clean it out further.
Okay. I always hear about using these products and overdosing, especially on cats. They get sick. What is the deal with that?
Well, whenever you use a flea and tick product, I mean, they're medicine. So you want to, when you go to the store and you check it, or you check at your veterinarian, you want to read the label completely and follow all the instructions. A lot of times people assume that they may have a big jumbo cat, and it may be bigger than a chihuahua. But even though it's a cat, it has a different system inside than a dog would. So so products that are used for dogs, you know, should be used on dogs only. You shouldn't use it on your rabbit or cat or, you know, guinea pig. You want to use, species-specific products. If you happen to have a pet that's aged, debilitated, has a lot of problems, I would recommend not to use any flea products unless you talk to your veterinarian and they recommend what to use on them. And then also this time of year, it's kitten season, so a lot of people have orphaned kittens. And one of the common things you see with the little tiny kittens are fleas. And there's really not anything that's out there that's labeled for use on kittens that young. So most people I talk to, I recommend to just use a flea comb and just comb the fleas off mechanically and get those, you know, the fleas physically off the kittens.
We also used, when we had a bunch of kittens with fleas, we would spend many hours with the flea comb, but we also gave them a bath, too, like a very mild, shampoo bath.
Yeah, you could do that too. The only thing is it might drop their temperature down too much, but it is something you could consider because just using soap and water, the soap will change the specific gravity of the water, so the fleas will actually, you know, drop down and drown. What you can do is that you know, if you do that, you don't want to use an insecticidal shampoo or a dip. You just want to use a little bit of soap and water. But an alternative thing you can do is when you do flea comb them, take the fleas off and stick them in a little bottle or a little, like, lid of soap and water, and they'll drown in that too. And then you're not really putting any chemicals on the kitten directly.
Okay, well, we love animals, we love nature, but we don't want those fleas and ticks on our animals.
Exactly.
Despite their God's creatures, we just don't need them.
Yeah, fleas are bad. Fleas, you know, they may serve a purpose. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I can't say them because, I check my, like, when it starts getting warmer, I start checking my pets, and as soon as I see that first flea, you know, I remove it completely and then put a flea product on them right away because I did not want to come home one day and have the fleas jumping on me.
No sorry.
Yeah.
Dr. Richardson, it's been too long. Please don't make it as long next time.
Oh, I won't. What? I won't. And if anybody would like to speak to one of our flea and tick experts, they can give us a call at 1-800-USA-FLEA, FLEA. And anybody that calls, if you ask for a makeover kit, we can actually send you out a doggy makeover kit.
A makeover kit.
Yes. And your next question is what is in that kit?
Does it include eyeshadow? And I mean, what is it exactly?
Well, that's probably the next thing we're going to invent. But it comes in a little makeup bag. So with pet owners that are ladies, you can use it later to carry your makeup in, like I do. but it also has shampoo samples. We have great shampoo came out. It's vanilla-scented, lavender-scented one, and then an orange-scented one. And it has the shampoo samples in there, a rawhide chip with our new infused rawhide, and my favorite thing is the brush strips.
The brush strips, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you take one off and you stick it on their tongue, and it helps make their breath nice and minty and fresh.
Oh, wow. Okay. They'll actually have better breath than I do. Dr. Richardson, thanks so much for taking time with us today.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
There's more Animal Radio on the way.
You are listening to the Animal Radio Network. This is Benjamin James with all the animal news from around the world. In Yangon, Japan, a woman breastfeeds tiger cubs. Hala Hate has three hungry infants to feed these days, a seven-month-old baby boy, and two Bengal tiger cubs. Three times a day, the Myanmar housewife goes to the Yangon Zoo, where she breastfeeds the hungry black-striped, orange-brown cubs rejected by their natural mother. The cubs are just like babies, Hala Hate said. The cubs were born at the zoo in mid-March, but their mother killed one and refused to nurse the others. The zoo says the breastfeeding will stop by the end of April or when the cubs start teething, whichever comes first. That's all the animal news from around the world for now. This is Benjamin James saying you are listening to the Animal Radio Network.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
I don't know if we're getting our news from the National Enquirer now or something like that. We are live from Oxnard, California, in front of PetSmart for the Pet-Friendly Tour of America with Randy Berger today. She's hanging with us. My Recycled Pets, Diary of a Dog Addict is her book. And before she goes, she wants to tell you how you can get in a little bit about it. And I think that's fine because she's awesome and the book is awesome. That's what I'm saying. How can we get the book and tell us a little bit about it real fast?
Okay. First, I'm going to give our website. If you get it through our website, it's a tax-deductible donation that goes to the rescue, and I will personally sign a copy and have it sent anywhere in the country at recycledpetsrescue.com. And also through any online bookstore, and any bookstore can actually order it. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any of the bookstores can order it also.
And, of course, your rescue gets a little bit of the money that that you make from the book there. So
actually, yeah, if people send a donation to the rescue of 25 or more, we send them a free copy of the book.
That's a good deal. I'm telling you that.
It's a great book.
Well, we certainly appreciate you coming out and hanging with us today. We're going to meet with one of your friends in just a couple of minutes here from the Camarillo Shelter?
Yeah, Camarillo, Ventura County Animal Shelter, Animal Regulation in Camarillo.
Another pet-friendly place, of course. We want to remind everyone that we are collecting inkjet cartridges, laser cartridges, and cell phones.
But not Epsons.
Yeah, sorry about the Epsons there. Those aren't recyclable.
No, they're not.
And why are we collecting them, Judy?
Because we can turn your old cartridges into money for the animals to continue the educational program on Animal Radio.
It's a little trick we got. You see, we take these cartridges and we put them in a little petri dish with some mayonnaise, and suddenly they turn into money.
To money. Yes, don't throw them away. Don't fill the landfills. Help recycle them and help the animals at the same time.
And you can send them to Post Office Box 129. That is in Kanab, K-A-N-A-B, Utah, 84741. Each one's worth a couple of bucks. You put a bunch of them together. And it pays for events like the Mega Adoption, which costs about 30 grand to do that puppy there. We need your help. You can also go to animalradio.com and get the address, as well as information on how you could get pre-postpaid labels so you can mail these in. It won't cost you a penny. You'll be helping us.
There you go.
We'll be back with more Animal Radio from Oxnard in just a couple of minutes. I'm out of breath. Hang around.
This is Animal Radio Network.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
And we are coming to you live today from Oxnard, California, and the PetSmart for the Pet-Friendly Tour of America. If you think you got a pet-friendly place, we want to hear from you, okay? There's several ways that you can get in touch with us. One is to call us on our toll-free number, which is 1-866-405-8405.
Hey, you don't even have that in front of you. Very good.
I was going to impress you with that.
Yes, you did.
You can also head on over to animalradio.com. Send us an email. Say, we got a pretty pet-friendly place, and we'd like you to come visit us. So far, we've been in Denver, Colorado at the Canine Rehab Center.
A lot of fun. That was a great place.
Today, we're at PetSmart in Oxnard, and it's fun watching all the dogs come in and out. The big dogs with the little people and the little dogs that think they're bigger than the big dogs, and they're barking at them. And of course,
yeah, it's so much fun.
The big guys, the macho guys with the little poodles.
And I got to see a Boston Terrier.
Yes, and we're in a few minutes, as soon as the show is over, we're going in checking out the cats.
Yes, we are.
As well as making some big purchases for our cats that we travel with in the Alpha Dog broadcast vehicle. We have with us Debbie, is it?
Sir. Yeah,
this is radio. You're going to have to... shaking the head won't work.
Okay. Yeah.
You work with the Camarillo shelter. Now, that's...
I used to.
You used to, okay.
Uh-huh.
Tell us a little bit about that shelter. That's over at the airport, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I worked there for 15 and a half years. Before then, I was a volunteer for 2 years. It's a good place to go for adoptions. If you're looking for a dog, it's not just mutts. They have purebred boxers, Maltese,
so
poodles.
It's well worth the trip if you're in Santa Barbara listening on KTMS or in Los Angeles listening on Coast. It might be about a 45-minute to an hour drive, but definitely worth it to go over there. You are the kind of person that we love because you dedicate your life to the animals and go above and beyond the call of duty, and I'm sure even probably spend a little bit of your own money doing so, too. What are you doing now?
Right now, I resigned from my position in February.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm not doing anything. So,
just being an advocate.
Ease. Yes, yes. I have 3 dogs at home, cats.
Very good. Now, the thing that we love about PetSmart and the reason that we think they're pet-friendly and that we're here is because they do not sell dogs, they do not sell cats, because, frankly, there's too many that are being put to sleep. Is it true if I want a specific breed cat or a specific breed dog that I have to go to a breeder, or can I find one somewhere else?
No, sir, that's not true. What you need to do is check out your local shelters. Like I said, we get Himalayans, we get Persians, Manxes, Siamese. All these are purebred if you want a purebred animal.
So there's no reason for me to go to a breeder.
No.
We
no,
could put
sir.
The breeders out of the business if we wanted to.
I'd love to see that. To me, breeder is a 4-letter word.
It sure is. And that's why we like PetSmart, because they don't buy their animals from breeders. They call in the local shelters. What other news do you have for us? When we get a pet, a dog, a cat, a rabbit, what are some of the first things that we should do?
First thing you should do is make sure that it's for life. Make sure it's for life. Don't get it at the spur of the moment. Don't go to a
shelter.
Like
a spontaneous decision?
No. Even the kids are screaming and crying. Think the purchase through.
What about if I wanted to get my next-door neighbor a present, and I'm thinking, oh, how about a dog?
Give them a gift certificate to your local shelter.
You mean they should go down there and check it out themselves, huh?
Yes. Well, I might like a poodle. You might want a Boston Terrier.
Okay. What other things should we do when we get the pet, first of all?
First of all, take them to your local veterinarian, set up shots, have them wormed, grooming.
Uh-huh.
All things like that are important. Take them to PetSmart, have them pick out their own toys and beds.
I see them doing a lot of the dogs doing that. I haven't seen any cats walking around yet, although we might think about bringing our cats in
there.
Yeah,
we might do that.
What about spaying and neutering?
Spaying and neutering is the most important thing. When I first started at the shelter, I almost didn't last past 2 months. It was devastating.
It gets frustrating, doesn't it?
Yes.
What helped you through the times, those times that you wanted to take your arms and just throw them up in the air and give up because you saw so many animals being put to sleep and saw all those things that made you frustrated? What got you through?
That I was there to make a difference, and if I left, there wouldn't be another person like me to come in.
What do you say to people that say there's too many animals out there, that you can't save them all?
You can do one step at a time. We could say that about people.
One at a time.
One at a time. Just focus one at a time. Yes.
See, if everybody does it one at a time, then
they'd all be safe.
We make a difference. Before you go, Debbie, any tips, anything else you want to mention?
No, all I'd like to say is do spay and neuter your animals. It's the best thing for them. I have witnessed firsthand they can get prostate cancer and ovarian cancer.
So you're saying there's other reasons than animals reproducing to spay and neuter?
Yes. You don't want to see your animal agonize through cancer just like a human does.
You mean having your animal spayed or neutered can actually reduce their odds of ovarian cancer and other sicknesses?
Yes, sir, and this has been proven.
Very good.
There you go.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a lot of information there. I thank you for coming out today, and we truly appreciate it. And if there could only be more people like you in the world, it would be a much better place, I'll tell you that. Giving of your time. Randy, thank you so much for out today. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you so much for having me. And I have to say, Debbie was one of the people who helped me so much at the shelter where I used to rescue 100 to 200 dogs a year out of that shelter. And she was incredible.
So there are lots of people like that.
Yay.
Lots of people like that, and there can be many, many more.
Yeah.
We appreciate that, all the people that devote their time. It's been sort of that inspirational show today. What's been your favorite part of today? The dogs coming in and out?
I think just all the goofy dogs and all these macho guys with the little teacup things. And the little teacup things are attacking the pit bulls. And the pit bulls are afraid of the little teacup things. And that's very entertaining.
It's been a lot of fun.
It's, you know, PetSmart's kind of the place that you want to just come out and put a seat out front and watch the people come in and out all day.
And bring your camera.
It's very entertaining. We did take a lot of pictures. If you want to see the event today, you can head on over to animalradio.com. Boy, I think that's pretty much been a show there.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and it goes so fast.
It does.
So,
if you heard anything on the show today that you want to hear more about, or you missed part of the show, or perhaps you need a website, or you want to send us some inkjet cartridges, or you want us to come to your city and broadcast live, head on over to animalradio.com. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll see you next weekend right here on Animal Radio.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
This is Animal Radio Network.
Underwriting comes from the American Anti-Vivisection Society. Learn more by calling 1-800-729-2287. That's 1-800-SAY-AAVS.